radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that he likes kissing pretty women and that...
You don't?
Sir, let me... Can I finish?
You like kissing ugly women?
Excuse me. Folks, I am standing in the middle of 1984 civilization.
It's bad, you know.
Liberal professors outnumber conservative professors. In fact, there are actually more Marxist professors employed in the United States right now than there are conservative professors. And that right there is the prime reason why you have these college kids and people in Berkeley walking around with such shock on their face when they see a young man walking around in a Trump shirt. It's because they don't have ideological diversity exposed to them every day when they're in their own little liberal progressive echo chambers.
They need more diversity. And multiculturalism. They really need it. They really need it. Because they don't have it.
So, yeah, so these parents should be very concerned because they're spending, I think UC Berkeley is like $70K a year to have their kids indoctrinated, to have their kids be taught about trigger words and safe spaces. And then when they get out there in the real world, they find out, look, the real world doesn't work like this. You're not going to get a trigger warning. You're not going to get that safe space at work because, you don't agree with somebody.
Or an empathy tent.
Or an empathy tent, yeah. So they're not preparing these kids. They're not preparing these kids for the real world. And at such an exorbitant cost paid by the parents, or in many cases paid by the state, we should demand that these kids have a better basis of knowledge and learning.
That's right. And, you know, that's why so many conservative speakers like Milo Yiannopoulos and even Ann Coulter and Ben Shapiro, these people have made efforts to come out and speak at these liberal progressive universities just to offer some bit of ideological diversity within the university. And that's really what this is about and why you see all this resistance with these Antifa and by any means necessary groups, which are communist groups nonetheless, is because they don't want the diversity here. They don't want people to think for themselves and decide that they want to align themselves with Americanism, patriotism.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're, to be honest, they're pissing their pants right now. So they see that Generation Z is coming up. Generation Z is overwhelmingly conservative. We're the most conservative generations since our grandparents. And they see that if you give 8 years of Trump, and all Generation Z comes to voting age, it's going to marginalize the neo-Marxists to a great extent. And we could very well get 4 years of Rand Paul after 8 years of Trump, which is a dream come true, in my opinion. So they're very scared about that, and they want to shut it down. They do not want us to organize. They do not want us to normalize patriotism and conservatism because they see which way the winds are blowing with Generation Z. Generation Z scares them to death. And you have people like the Berkeley College Republicans. These are great representatives of the new generation of red-pilled conservative. These kids have been listening to Alex Jones since they were 12 years old. These are like some of the most red-pilled people you'll ever meet in your life. I had to wait until my late 20s to finally get red-pilled. These guys were red-pilled when they first hit puberty. So by the time they get into their 20s and 30s, they have such a good understanding of real-world politics, and it's really scaring these liberals.
Exactly, and you know, it is time for War Room to start. So War Room, I'm sure, is just kicking off right now. And so let me just give you guys an update on what is going on right now. This is Millie Weaver reporting for Infowars.com. We're here at UC Berkeley, where we have Patriot Prayer, Joey Gibson's group, along with Kyle Chapman, the bass stick man. We've got Tiny. We have a bunch of conservatives, well-known people out here that are coming out standing for free speech and freedom against this encroaching Antifa, by any means necessary, communist regime.
No other time. 90 miles an hour, girl, is a speed I drive.
Let's
is the War Room.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another installment of the War Room. Today's date is September 27th, 2017. Let's get fired up! Yeah! Come on! We ready? Somebody's got to fix that camera. I think I knocked it out of place. I hit the desk so hard. Sorry about that, guys. I saw it drop forward right as it came to me. The power. I could feel the power. Today's a good day. A lot of things going right. A lot of things going wrong in this world. But as long as we stand up and stand strong in this face of these tyrants who want to tell us what to talk, what to think, how to dress, who we are as people, man, all we have to do is stand up to them. So what you saw earlier was Millie Weaver on scene in Berkeley with the Patriot Prayer group having a rally at what was supposed to be a big week of free speech. And by the way, I'm Rob Dew. Over here next to me is Harrison Smith. He's going to be co-hosting today. We're doing a little revolving co-host chair this week as Owen Schroyer enjoys the luxuries of Rio de Janeiro, and he'll be back next week. But we've got a lot to talk about. I got three big guests. Chuck Johnson's going to come up in the bottom of this hour talking about Steve Bannon now becoming the de facto leader of the Republican Party and what the Roy Moore win means. He won the nomination last night for GOP for the Senate race there in the runoff. And then we're going to have Austin Fletcher, who's known as Fleckus Talks on YouTube. He's been out there in Berkeley putting together some great videos. He's the guy with the spoon.
If you don't
know who I'm talking about, he is. He's great.
Best.
And I just love the way people don't know really who he is. And they open up and talk to him, and he's just
so calm and chill.
Exactly. It's so good.
To talk, and they just expose themselves.
And then in the final hour, we're going to have Leanne McAdoo joining us from Florida, talking about getting an update on what's going on with the hurricane cleanup going on there. And I'm sure we'll be talking about everything that's been going on. I got this video or this article here. Anthony Weiner frightened of prison beatdown because of pedophile label. Well, you know, don't do the crime. You won't have to do the time there, Anthony. Plenty of people tried to help you out. You didn't want to help yourself out. And I think we figured out why Kim Jong-il is known as Rocket Man to Donald Trump. We found the secret North Korean cartoon.
That's right.
Of the little Rocket Man.
It's very entertaining.
And we got all kinds of stuff going on here. What are you going to get into? I didn't even ask Harrison what he's going to bring to the table because I like to be I like it to be spontaneous here in the War Room.
You know, I might have overdone it a little bit. I went a little bit crazy going through my bookmarks, going through everything. And I mean, so much stuff just happened yesterday and today. It's almost...
It's crazy.
Overwhelming.
Is crazy.
From the German election has tons of different interesting aspects to it just by itself and the response to this growing right-wing movement in Germany that sort of seemed to have popped out of nowhere. They had no idea that this was going to happen.
No. Hey, they've been marching in Dresden, I think, the first Tuesday or Wednesday of every month. When we got there for Bilderberg, they happened to be marching that day, and it was huge. Thousands of people, a small pocket of little lemmings who are just like, we should get free college. We should get free everything. Let more migrants in. It should all be open borders. These people have been brainwashed by Soros officials and Soros bots out there that want to bring in a totalitarian world government run by a small clique of elites that get all the resources, and they want you to live on nothing. They want you to live on the chicken feed.
And the good news is that people in Germany are combating that legislatively. They're combating it through the election. So it doesn't have to get to a point where people get violent and have to fight for their rights. They're actually showing that they're a force to be reckoned with legislatively or electorally.
It's so good to see. It's good to see people standing up for themselves.
There's good news today. There is a lot of good news.
Hey, our reporters get doused with urine. They get their stuff robbed. They still go back. They show up. They're in the game. And that's what you have to be. You have to be in the game here in this world. Is that live still of Millie Weaver? Hey, anytime it's something good, y'all just say, let me know. Just say, hey, let's go to Millie, and we'll just go live to it because we don't know what's going to happen out there. Last time we went live to her, and she immediately got doused, was called a fascist. They did this weird thing, making a wall, a meat wall is what they call
it. Where'd they get that idea?
Yeah, walls work. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, no, I love watching the live stuff. I'm just I'm biting my nails.
You never know.
I'd rather watch it later when I know what has happened. But there's something very exciting about watching it live in real time.
There is. In fact, guys, you have that video of the November 4th protest. Do we have that one ready? Okay. Well, let me know when you have that because I'd like to play that. We have video up on Infowars.com. Video: anti-fascist protesters block freeway threaten November 4th, it begins. And as soon as y'all find that video, which Jake should know where it is because he pulled it in, let's just roll that video. And I'm just going to read this article until we find that video.
Well, the November 4th thing is so funny.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just so funny because they're openly planning this day of action. I don't know what they call it, but it's we're going to go out and protest in all these different cities, and it's going to be huge, and we're going to be violent and all this stuff. I have an article on it here somewhere. It's so funny to me because it's either the people in charge are they like this because they're letting them just talk about it openly, or it just shows how little of a threat they actually are, that they can go out and say, hey, we're all going to get together and try to overthrow the government on November 4th, and everybody just kind of goes, okay, sure you are.
Well, to me, they're channeling the spirit of Simple Jack, because everybody knows it's the 5th of November where you go out and protest. It's not the 4th of November. These people don't know anything. But here's the article posted by No BS Media. The group chanted the usual, no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA, that has been regurgitated by anti-Trump protesters over and over the past year. They also shouted, take a knee in solidarity with NFL protesters. So now these guys are de facto NFL fans. The police showed up about 9 minutes into the video and began making arrests 13 minutes later while drivers honked and cheered. Yeah, people trying to go on about their day and get things done. The stunt was meant to bring attention to a larger upcoming protest that must grow day after day and night after night. Thousands becoming hundreds of thousands, then millions determined to put a stop to the grave danger that the Trump-Pence regime poses to the world, according to the group.
Oh, they're going
to
save the world.
And here's what they say. On November 4th, 2017, we will gather in the streets and public squares of cities and towns across this country. At first, many thousands declaring that this whole regime is illegitimate because they beat the child rape defender.
Yes.
And murder of millions of children, Hillary Clinton. And that we will not stop until our single demand is met, that this nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go.
Regime. It's a regime.
Our protests grow day after day and night after night, thousands becoming hundreds of thousands, and then millions, determined to act to put a stop to the grave danger that the Trump-Pence regime poses to the world by demanding that this whole regime be removed from power. And replaced with who? Hillary Clinton? Who are we going to replace it with?
Sounds good to me, Hillary Clinton.
I mean, it would be the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. Is that who you want? Oh, you want Paul Ryan because you know he's really with you guys. Totally ridiculous. Did we find the video? Did you play it? Roll the video anytime while I'm talking about it. And so there you can see the arrest being made right now, the people blocking the street. If you're listening on radio, we are streaming this live at Infowars.com/show, and you can see actual video of what's going on. But the group held up a sign that said November 4th, it begins.
There's actually another video of an arrest of one of our favorite middle school teachers, Yvette Falarka.
Oh, the BAM lady.
Yeah, the BAM lady. She got arrested yesterday, I believe. This is the best part, at the empathy tent. The empathy tent.
I saw that on Drudge. I didn't realize it was Yvette Farkula.
Yeah, or as this article calls her, Yvonne Falarka.
Yeah, whatever.
They seem to mix those up.
I think they're probably doing it on purpose so no one can find her so she can slip back into the darkness. They probably changed her name, but I'm pretty sure it's Yvette Falarka. I'm pretty sure. Tell us more. What happened? What was she doing in the empathy tent?
Well, she was being very empathetic. She was empathetically causing scuffles and shouting matches with Joey Gibson and his supporters, his group called Patriot Prayer.
I believe here's a scuffle.
And if you get some audio, they're actually chanting lock her up, which I thought was pretty fitting.
14 minutes, Millie Weaver was streaming live from the Alex Jones Facebook page. And you could watch that Patriot Prayer UC Berkeley and check that out. There's also, it looks like they just put up a report from John Bowne, national fear-mongering libtards destroying their American dream. Guys, let's maybe at the top of the next hour, let's play that report during that five-minute segment. That looks like a good... John Bowne's always got good reports, and it is really... he puts out stuff the day it happens. I don't know how he does it so quickly.
And
he sits in a cave of power.
He must.
That's how he does it. So we're going to be talking about the tax reform that's coming out later. Drudge has slammed it. Others have slammed it, too. David Stockman slammed it earlier in the month of September, and I want to go over what he says. And he's not necessarily slamming cutting taxes. He's saying it's not going far enough, which I'm all in agreement with. cut more taxes. But before we get to that, I want to show you a little bit from Comedy Central's newest Alex Jones parody show. And Chris Minahan from Information Liberation says it's terrible. The idea behind the show is to create a mock Alex Jones character who would act ridiculous and make supporting the establishment seem edgy and cool. Not picking a cuck-faced clown probably would have helped further their aims, but I can't imagine many people were chomping at the bit to take the role. The show debuted last night, and several clips were uploaded to Comedy Central's YouTube channel. The first segment attacks citizen journalists for covering the riots at Berkeley. Oh, the Constitution guarantees Americans' right to free speech, says one of the show's mocks citizen journalists. It also guarantees the audience for that speech, says his partner. Yeah, preferably on TV, maybe radio. We'd also take streaming, the first mock journalist says. That's the joke. That sounds like a horrible joke. I don't even get that. But hey, let's see the joke in its entire fetid flesh live on video. Here it is.
Here's the situation. There are dark forces at play. The deep state, globalists, Bill Nye. And this program will oppose them at all costs. But just like Lee Harvey Oswald, I can't do it alone. We have an incredible team of citizen journalists. You may already know them if you've been a loyal listener to the Oppo Radio Network, or watched our YouTube videos, or subscribed to our anti-mainstream Snapchat stories. And now they're all here, covering the stories you need to know about. Starting with our resident First Amendment champions and social provocateurs, Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson. Now here they are.
Let's meet the citizen journalists.
Where Free Speech Week was just canceled. Wow. Guys, what's going on?
Jordan, Free Speech Week may have been canceled, but we are not going anywhere because the Constitution guarantees Americans the right to free speech.
And it also guarantees an audience for that speech.
Yeah, preferably on TV, maybe radio. We'd also take streaming.
Either way, this crinkly old bitch lets us say whatever.
Yeah. You don't have to agree with it, but you do have to accept it. Also, follow us on social.
Right, good. Keep fighting, guys. That's good.
Oh, this is going to last.
As you may know, many NFL players have been taking a knee during their precious national anthem.
All right, you guys can cut it.
Everything they do backfires on them. How is this going to be any different?
Keep it playing in the background. This is literally the essence of Simple Jack TV. Made for a live studio laugh track.
Well, it's funny because this was my prediction before this was that they're gonna have to actually come to our side.
They don't even know their lines. They're actually you can tell them they're reading off a teleprompter. I can't move too much because I gotta read what I'm saying because I don't really know what am I supposed to say. At these libtards. Oh my god. Yeah, this is great. This is gonna be awesome. It's called The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. And Jordan is supposed to be Alex Jones. Kind of looks like probably the most cuckish version of Alex Jones I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And he has his microphone kind of far away, which doesn't make sense. You talk into the microphone, Jordan.
It's all fake.
I know.
It's all just props.
And then they have the guy in the studio talking. I guess he's the producer telling them what to say.
I'm flattered personally. I mean, they have the glitch style. They took our style. I mean, it's a cool style. Sorry, guys.
They have a double box.
A joke.
We have a triple box. Almost there, guys. Get your triple box going. You need to get some triple box. Hey, I'm hanging out with Trump supporters. My God, this is great. Turn this back up a little bit.
Obamacare was bull. all right? I get my health care from the Affordable Care Act.
Yes. Now, Nicole.
You pay out the ass for it,
personally,
girl.
I think you get a lot more respect from Trump than Obama.
Mm-hmm. The second I walk into any Trump rally, it's like the room stops, all right?
Like, oh, so they're talking about token black people. Ha ha ha.
And then Trump's staff just brings me right here behind the podium every
time. That's what they do. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Calling Trump supporters racist. Yeah. They're really breaking new ground.
How'd they come up with this stuff? That they don't even talk to me anymore. But you know what? I'm on the Trump train. Woo woo.
All right, so this is what's going on in liberal world.
How will we ever survive?
I don't know. I think we're done. Yeah. They killed us.
How can we keep going on knowing
they have all of our secrets? They have all of our tricks. And they think this is going to work. This is going to fail spectacularly. And I hope they keep it on as long, because this is going to be great material, which I love. I love this material. Terrible acting. They're reading off teleprompters. And these are jokes that are at least 2 years old. These are jokes that are easily two years old.
The problem is that they think that we are humorless, but really, like when he says, just like Oswald, I couldn't do it alone. That's a pretty funny joke. That's pretty good. Oswald didn't do it alone.
No, he didn't.
I don't know. It's like they think that that's somehow like mocking conspiracy theorists. It's like
they have no clue. It's like when the Bon Iver song came out,
right?
And everybody, oh, you got roasted. And we said, oh, we're going to make it better and show you all the articles. That's there's Darren McBreen who helped put that together back there in the control room.
Stuck in my head for 3 months.
And then we had a contest and I've got about over 200 high quality entries. There's probably 300 total, but over 200 high quality entries of people doing their best rendition of that song. And then we gave away $20,000.
And that's the thing. Even with the opposition, they try to mock it, but they can't hide the truth. Like when I first showed my girlfriend the that song, and Alex says the line, "We're such self-centered crap, we don't even notice hell itself rising up against
they
us."
They don't. Right there. We just saw that.
She's like, "Oh my God!" You know, like that's brilliant. Yeah. Like they're trying to mock us. They don't realize that they're just exposing the truth to people, and people will recognize that even if you do it in a mocking
thing. It is a beautiful time to be alive. Now we got Chuck Johnson coming up. Did I say Chuck Jones earlier? That's actually a master animator from the Looney Tunes days. But Chuck Johnson from gotnews.com is coming up. You can also find him at wesearcher.com. We're going to talk about three articles he had on his site talking about how Steve Bannon is now the leader of the Republican Party, whether anybody likes it or not. He's become more powerful after leaving the White House.
I like it.
I like it too. Kneel before Zod. All right, we'll be right back after this message. Infowars.com/show is where you can find all the live streams. Go there now and spread that link.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
We're going to make America great again, people. Donald Trump's going to bring jobs, and then you're going to have work to do. It's going to be great. Now I'm being shoved and being assaulted here.
All right, we are live. Deep into the first hour of the War Room. Got lots of news, got lots of guests coming up, and we're going to take your calls in the last hour, so stay tuned for that number. We'll give it out a little bit later, but stay tuned for it. Liam McAdoo will be on with myself and Harrison Smith. And coming up, we're going to have Chuck Johnson. In fact, I believe he's on the line. Talk about the new de facto leader of the Republican Party and what happened yesterday. As you know, Donald Trump he came out and did a very loose endorsement for Luther Strange, and I think at some point into it, he goes, "I better attack the NFL because I don't want people to really know him."
This is Darren McBreen.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Oh, sorry to butt in here real quick, but we've noticed a huge trend that's happening right now. The NFL is suffering a huge backlash like we've never seen. And there's a guy named Brandon Tatum. We have it queued up right now. We want to show you some of this video.
Okay.
Get your take on it. But this guy has 38 million views in just a couple of days.
Ew.
Talking about his feelings about the NFL. And I think once you see a little bit of this, we can all relate. So I want to they have it queued up now. We're going to play some of it. check it out, and then I want to get your thoughts on it.
Sure, let's do it.
All right. I wasn't going to talk, but now y'all done made me talk. So look, this is my whole thing about this protesting and this taking a knee on the flag. For all you people who just seem to not understand, let me clarify this for you, okay? It's not about the act of protesting. It's not about the act of believing in something and pursuing it. It's the way you're doing it. I don't know how many times people have to say this. Listen, what does the American flag have to do with your perceived oppression? What does the national anthem have to do with these issues that people are bringing up? It is a separate issue. The flag and the national anthem has nothing to do with what you're talking about. You're talking about an anthem of hope and unity within this country that have made people become great, that have made the poor become rich and give people opportunities. You're just talking about a flag that represents hard work, dedication, blood, sweat, and tears. Sacrifice. And the thing that makes me most upset is that you have these people who turn around and take a knee and want to attribute all the negativity to the flag and the anthem, but don't want to attribute the positive. Listen, if you feel that the American flag represents negativity and slavery and all this other stuff, then you have to give credit and credence to a flag that have given you an opportunity to go from cornfields and picking cotton to being the president of the United States of America.
Amen.
Going brother. From being segregated, can't go to proper school.
All right, guys,
school,
there's a sample of what I'm talking about. And look, these videos, he's not the only one. This is how social media is taking over the
38 million views. Find that view count, guys. Let's show that.
38 million views. Has anybody asked him to be on television? Has anybody interviewed him? Has CNN interviewed this guy? But there's several videos out there. All you have to do is just look at the NFL boycott on social media. Go on Facebook, go on Twitter, go on YouTube. And a lot of these guys have 10, 12, 13, 15, 20 million views, and because this is what people are interested in right now.
He probably has 10 times the viewers than this Comedy Central show. This produced piece of hogwash that was made to try and make us look stupid.
Some dude in his car has 38 million.
Well, some guy in his car.
And that's exactly the point that Trump was making when he made his statement. He said, look, the first coach to come out and say, get off the field is going to be incredibly popular. And this is exactly what he's talking about.
Exactly.
People want to see this pro-America
love patriotism. It. McBreen, stay on this. And we need to reach out. Somebody needs to reach out to Brandon Tatum. Now, if we can get him on today, we'll get him on. I'd love to have him on now just to even speak more of his mind and give him a bigger platform. Although it's going to be kind of hard to beat 38 million views.
A bigger platform.
I mean, that is huge. And just like that, boom, Brandon Tatum is going to be a superstar. And people like Yvette Falarca are going to end up losing their jobs in middle school eventually if they keep acting like crazy people. So with that, I guess we do have Chuck Johnson right now, right? All right, we're going to change gears now. Chuck, what did you think of that? Did you catch that video?
I did. I thought it was great.
Are you one of the 38 million people that watched it?
I'm not, but I will be soon.
we're going to make it 39 million.
Yeah, 39 million or whatever. Man, it's great to see people hate football as much as I do. It's like Revenge of the Nerds. This has been a great year for us. You know, we got the president talking smack. I got to say, I wonder why Trump doesn't go like all antitrust on the NFL, given what happened with him with the U.S. Football League back in the day.
Well, Harrison was saying that earlier in the week. He was saying that he's had beef with them for a long time because he was a big XFL supporter. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is like a holdover from that. And maybe that's why all those owners were contributing to his campaign and the inauguration. I think one of the coaches or one of the owners gave him $1 million. The one, I think, of the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, he's made a bunch of them into ambassadors, right? Woody Johnson, who owns the Jets, he made into the ambassador to London. Maybe it's just like part of the strategy, you know, exile them all abroad and then destroy their team.
Well, we have one exile from the White House who is just growing in power and stature, and you reported it today on your website. Victory, Steve Bannon is now leader of the Republican Party, hashtag Alabama, hashtag Roy Moore, and that is alluding to Roy Moore's big win, 10 points over Luther Strange, the establishment puppet, as you will, even though he did vote and support Trump, which probably he did out of, you know, I better do something.
Right.
I think the writing was on the wall, and now we have other people. The one of the senators from Tennessee is going to drop out. Chuck, what is your take on Steve Bannon? More powerful now than ever before?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing to watch this transformation of Steve Bannon. When I first met him, it was in 2011 here in L.A., and he was like doing movie deals. He was running around trying to make money here in this godforsaken place. And he hooked up with Andrew Breitbart, and it's just been fascinating watching his transformation. He would never have been public on a lot of things, and here he was on the stage basically the night before the vote, you know, sounding off, naming all the consultants that were messed up. I mean, he looks like he's a general, you know, like he looks like he's leading a resistance fight or something. It feels very much like the scene in Terminator, you know, when they're all like, you know, this is John Connor hooking up with all of the remnants around the world. And it's interesting in particular because, you know, I think Steve has really come into his own. And I think it's great that he's out of the White House because, frankly, he wasn't really doing much in the White House. He wasn't able to get a lot of people into the government. I think he was mistaken in how he dealt with a lot of the people who the establishment wanted to bring in. And now he's able to actually call them to account and actually fight them in the territory where they were most, you know, preeminent. I would just say, too, one thing that to add to this was, you know, Chris McDaniel was there. Chris McDaniel ran for the U.S. Senate, probably won the race, but had it stolen from him by the establishment in 2014 in Mississippi, ran for U.S. Senate. And he was there. He was at the rally, as were a number of candidates who are thinking of running around the country. And so it's interesting to see them all now come to Bannon and kiss the ring. And it's because, you know, he represents the Rebecca Mercer money, the Mercer family being one of the wealthiest families in the country. And the establishment is freaking out. I mean, in some of these cases, the candidates aren't even announced, like in Tennessee. And Bob Corker was just like, peace, I'm done. I don't need to fight.
Mike, so drop him out of here.
I think you'll see a lot more of that.
And what I think we're seeing now is he is the leader of the GOP 2.0. The GOP is reinventing itself. It's being co-opted by freedom-loving people and not people who are beholden to globalist interest because, you know, Steve Bannon was able to out-Trump Trump. And I don't think anybody could have predicted that at the beginning of the year. But the polls, the people, they're not sold by the cult of Trump, which I think is a good thing. And I want to get your thoughts on that when we come back from break. Chuck Johnson from gotnews.com. We're taking over. And it's because we're here with facts and logic. That's why we're winning. Infowars.com/show is where you can find all the free streams. Please spread the word. Thanks for watching The War Room. The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew, co-hosting with me today, Harrison Smith, and we got Chuck Johnson on the line from gotnews.com talking about the realignment of the GOP. Now, the Democratic Party had a choice to realign, and they failed. They could have gone with Bernie Sanders and more of a socialist leftist message. At least they would have had a message.
But see, that ideology is a top-down ideology, so it is inherently easy to crush by the establishment.
By the top, who doesn't want it?
We are a bottom-up ideology, which
excellent point.
Allows us to bubble up like that.
Excellent point. And so instead of reformulating themselves and coming up with a new identity, which is more socialist and not something I agree with, they pushed a haggard old lady on us and said, you have to vote for her because it's time for a woman to be president. And we said, no. No, we're not going to do that. And we said no to all the rhino establishment candidates who are being propped up with millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And one man came on top. And I don't agree with everything he says and everything he does. You know, and we're not the cult of Trump. We proved that in Alabama.
It's not the cult of Trump. And right, that's proven by Moore's victory because Trump supported Strange, held a whole rally for him. And so that's the interesting thing to me because I always thought, well, if the Republicans just fall in line behind Trump and if they just help Trump, then, you know, that's what they need.
They're unstoppable.
Join or die, right? But this kind of proves that, like, Strange tried that. He did that, and it wasn't enough. So I wonder if that's got establishment Republicans going, oh, crud, I can't even, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm too much of a swamp creature. I have too much of the swamp on me already.
Well, they're definitely quaking in their boots. Got News also published this as well. They were really on this Roy Moore winning, which is definitely a realignment, what we're seeing going on. Breaking at GOP establishment support moving towards John Thune and away from Mitch McConnell over loser Luther Strange. Now, Chuck Johnson, can you make heads or tails of this? Why are they going to John Thune? He seems to be a little bit more of a less, I guess, less controlled Republican than Mitch McConnell. Like, Mitch McConnell seems bought and paid for years. He's like a stuffed turtle sitting in the corner, squatting on us. What's your take on what's going on right now?
You know, the problem that the establishment has really is it doesn't really have any champions. You know, it's always trying to like throw out a Marco Rubio or something, some like new face, some new fresh face. And they're trying that strategy again with John Thune. And Thune is, you know, he's a good looking guy. He's, you know, he's very telegenic. He's also very stupid, but, you know, they are representatives after all. And Thune, you know, Thune wants to go after the big social media companies. He wants to go after them for censorship issues. So if he became the leader of the Senate, that'd be all right by me. But we were talking to a lot of like Republican establishment donors. You know, let's not forget they spent $30 million for the Luther Strange outcome. So
Roy Moore's like $2 or $3 million. Like it was not even close.
And it's a real victory for grassroots and a real victory for Trumpism or everything that Trump said he was about during the campaign. It's a real victory for that and not for Trump, which is kind of cool in a way. Very much peer-to-peer advocacy. And I was talking to a lot of the guys who were running the Moore campaign and were involved. And it was like people were just coming out of the woodwork to support their candidacy. They were like driving into Alabama to be volunteers. They weren't even necessarily even contacting the campaign. They were just like running around talking about how great Moore was. And so this kind of like anarchic, you know, bottom-up approach to politics is something I've never seen before, like on the right. It seems a lot like Obama in 2008, where people were creating their own little groups to support Obama. It's a lot like that. But it's a very interesting time. I think what we'll see more of is we'll see a lot more of the consultant class, you know, get smacked around. Bannon has really established himself not just as the leader of the party, but also increasingly the leader of the political action side of it. I mean, he's going around picking targets all around the country. And what's most interesting is I think, you know, having talked to him and having talked to people around him, I think it will be very easy to convince a lot of these Republicans not to run for reelection, given that a lot of them are having trouble raising money. And they just don't want to do it anymore because they see that Trump has changed the political landscape.
And I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more openness. We're going to see a lot more people who actually care about the job they're doing. They're not just in it for their own self-interest, because I think that's a lot of the problem with these Congress critters, as other people have called them, that they're just their time has come. We need term limits. We need people who want to come in for the right reason. We need to end the insider trading. There's a lot of things that I could, you know, just name really quickly that I think would just start cleaning up this government, because that's the real problem with this country. It's not the people that are in it. We're not the ones screwing things up. It's literally the government that can't get its act together. Do you have a question for Chuck?
Well, yeah. My question is, do you think there's any danger in splitting the Republican Party? Because we know that the Democrats are in chaos right now, but when it comes down to it, unless their candidate's Hillary Clinton, they're pretty good at falling in line, you know, when the time comes. Is there any danger in this splitting of the Republican Party? Are we too sort of confident in our position right now?
Well, we basically have four political parties or four political movements and two parties, which is kind of interesting. And so it's like everyone's trying to like, it's like a giant game of musical chairs or something. No, I don't really think the Republican Party is going to split, because in the final analysis, the grassroots, you know, as Bannon puts it, the grassroots have the muscle and the establishment has the money. And the money will ultimately flow to those who are in power. They will become the new establishment. And you see that with some of the like super rich families that have all kind of like, they've all jumped on the Trump train, like the Ricketts family, which started TD Ameritrade. They were like longtime establishment squish donors, but they're now backing Trump. And so we're seeing a lot more of that kind of thing, where the billionaire class is, instead of dictating which candidates on the Republican Party run as they used to in like 2014, they're now being forced to follow along with what the grassroots want. So for many years, it was like the grassroots were in the back of the bus. They were not taken seriously, not respected. while the Rockefeller Republicans were driving the bus. And now it's the inverse. The Rockefeller guys are in the back of the bus, and they're just hoping not to be thrown off the car entirely.
Well, and the problem with that is to get into these committees, it costs a lot of money. So if you're not independently wealthy already, you have to have those donations to become part of one of these intelligence committees because they charge so much freaking money. That's the big scam with politics right now. It's not about whether you're qualified to be part of the intelligence committee or housing and urban development or all these different committees that they have. It's how much money do you have? And that's the only precursor to get into these things and the only thing stopping people. So they go out and get the money.
Yeah, you see this all the time, too. Like Congressman Rohrabacher, who went with me to see Julian Assange last month, you know, he's really, really smart on science issues. But Paul Ryan will never give him chairmanship of the science committee until he raises $500,000 to $1 million. And now that he's actually done that, using a lot of money from the medical marijuana community, they're saying that he hasn't raised the right kind of money, right?
Yeah. So this is green money. Yeah. Can't have green money.
It's like you can't have actual cash, right? This is the kind of game that's being played. But what I think is likely, you're likely to see like a challenge for the leadership of either the Senate or of the House or both. And I think that will be very interesting because, you know, the Republican party, Paul Ryan, could not be further apart from Donald Trump, or John McCain couldn't be further apart from Donald Trump than pretty much anything we've seen before. And one side's going to win and one side's going to lose. And I know better than to try and stump the Trump. Like I think he's very likely to force the Republican Party to go on his mode of thinking things. And what I heard actually, so I heard that Trump was extremely angry about last night. I heard he was extremely angry about Luther Strange because he doesn't like backing losers. You know, he went and deleted all those tweets. And he was upset that Jared and Mitch McConnell and a few others convinced him to back Luther Strange.
And that's a point you make in one of your articles, that it was Jared Kushner who was saying, come on, you got to support Luther. You got to support Luther. So slowly the veneer of slick Gerald Jared is coming off. And I love to see that because I think he is one of the big problems in that administration right now.
True. And I would say one other thing, too, which is that, you know, Roy Moore is kind of a crazy man. Like, he's kind of a wild guy. Like, and I think that's great. Like, we need more eccentrics in the U.S. Senate. Like, we need people willing to be like kind of not fall in line with the intelligence community or with the deep state. We need people who are their own men and who are kind of like kind of wild guys.
A man who rides a horse to the polling and pulls out a gun at a rally. That's the kind of guy we need. We need somebody like Kid Rock. I would love to see Kid Rock in, just not because I think he's a statesman, that I think he'd do a good job. It's that he'd do a terrible job, and I'd love to see that. I'd just love to see the system being dumped on its head because for so long we've been held captive by these people. Chuck, you got 45 seconds. Go ahead, final word.
Yeah, in all honesty, like maybe these wild guys are the kind of people we need. Like, you know, Trump is a reality TV star turned president. Like, and why not? You know, why do we have to always go with the lawyers or the Harvard MBA types? Like, forget that.
Exactly. Lawyers are definitely ruining what's going on in our country. I think we need a lot more artists than lawyers. But there it is. Senator Kid Rock. Don't laugh. Don't laugh because he could be a senator coming up. Thanks for joining us, Chuck Johnson. You can find more about what he's writing about at WeSearcher.com and GotNews.com. Stay tuned. We got more of the War Room coming up. Austin Fletcher, a.k.a. Fleckus Talks. Infowars.com/show is the free stream.
It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
But speaking of reconciliation, the Republican Senate needs to get rid of the filibuster rule, which is blocking so many great legislative reforms the American people badly want and deserve. By the way, the Democrats, if they had the opportunity, which hopefully they won't for many, many years, they would get rid of it on day one. And most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're here today in Indiana to announce our framework to deliver historic tax relief to the American people. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I guess it's probably something I could say that I'm very good at. I've been waiting for this for a long time. We're going to cut taxes for the middle class, make the tax code simpler and more fair for everyday Americans, and we are going to bring back the jobs and wealth that have left our country, and most people thought left our country for good. We want tax reform that is pro-growth, pro-jobs, pro-worker, pro-family, and yes, tax reform that is pro-American. It's time to take care of our people, to rebuild our nation, and to fight for our great American workers. Indiana is a tremendous example of the prosperity that is unleashed when we cut taxes and set free the dreams of our citizens. This state has claimed a powerful competitive edge built on low taxes and less regulation. And are we cutting regulation? And businesses all across the country have taken notice. In recent years, Indiana has welcomed dozens of companies fleeing high taxes and high tax states. Thousands of new jobs and massive capital investment have followed, meaning a better quality of life for the people of Indiana. All of this is possible because the people of this state have made a decision. They chose to make Indiana competitive again. They chose, and their choice was so important. It included electing a governor who you may have heard of, who signed the largest income tax cut in the state's history, our very, very terrific person and terrific Vice President, Mike Pence. It's time for Washington to learn from the wisdom of Indiana. We need Washington to promote American jobs instead of obstructing them. That is what I've been working to achieve every day since I took office. That is what I talked about on the campaign trail. Already we're seeing the results of an economic policy that finally puts America first. Unemployment is at a 16-year low. Unemployment for African Americans is near its lowest point since the turn of the millennium. It's really a fantastic thing to see.
All right, we'll be right back after this segment. That was Donald Trump talking about the new tax plan, and we've got it coming up. Stay tuned.
Is the War Room.
If you go to my Twitter account at Dews News, DewsNews, I just retweeted a little note from Owen Schroyer, who had his take on the NFL controversy. Funny, he goes on vacation when, like, the biggest sports controversy breaks out. In fact, there's two of them. There's one in college, and we got this pro-kneeling thing going on in the NFL and the NBA. And he said, "We use sports as an escape from politics. Start injecting politics into sports. We'll find a different escape, and you will lose your audience." That was Owen Schroyer today tweeting from somewhere in Brazil. He'll be back next week. And I'm sure he'll have plenty to say on the NFL. And we're going to get to earlier, we just played a part of Trump's speech on the tax reform. I've got several articles here. One, Drudge slams GOP, no different than Dems, mogul frustrated with establishment Republicans. He's not, he's pissed off about Obamacare, and he sees this as a tax raise. Also got an interesting article from LouRockwell.com, and it's by David Stockman, who worked in the Reagan administration in the budget office there. And he said, Donald Seinfeld's tax plan, a big show about nothing. He seems to think it could be better. And then we'll go into actually what the tax plan is. Here's the actual tax reform, United Framework for Fixing Our Broken Tax Code, right there. And I have this Daily Mail article. Trump's dramatic tax reform plan revealed the president wants three brackets, zero tax on couples' first $24,000, and a massive slash to corporate tax rates. To me, that all sounds like good news, but we'll dig into this more and see what the experts are saying, because I'm by no means a financial expert. But I can tell you what, I hate paying my taxes. And we're about to bring up our guest, Fleckus Talks. But first, let me tell you about the big sales at InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com. But you could go to InfoWars.com and go to the store, click any of the ads right there. But InfoWarsStore.com, for a limited time, we have 50% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion, which will help you get to your optimal health and give you all your necessary vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Don't forget about the amino acids. Take advantage of this unprecedented low price and experience what InfoWars Life's Vitamin Mineral Fusion can do for you. That's a mouthful. Also, Oxy Powder, the cleansing formula that I've tried four times now. I've gone through four iterations of the Oxy Powder formula. And I call it Oxy Power because
yeah, I've heard it's
powers through your body.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And cleans you out very well.
One bottle lasts a while. That's what I heard.
It does take a while to go through a full bottle. In fact, I don't even think I've gone through a whole bottle yet, and I've done it four times. And at several days, several pills a day.
Yeah.
So you got to read the back. And I would, my own personal experience, I'll just give you that. I'm not a doctor. Do not take this as medical advice. They say, I think, start with five. I myself go with seven. I'm a bigger guy. Got a lot more to clean out. And I'll just leave it at that. We also have Alexa Pro Breeze, 20% off, which is the air cleaner that we have all throughout the facility here at the InfoWars.com Central Texas Command Center. And also Alexa Pro, the water filter systems that we do sell here, is also 20% off. And all Emerx Essential Packs are 50% off. And one of our popular nootropics, Brain Force, 35% off when you put in the promo code Supercharge.
Supercharge.
Supercharge. So
I love Brain Force.
You love Brain Force?
I do. I like it a lot.
You know, who'd we give? Oh, Jack Posobiec was here.
Yeah, we gave
him some Brain Force. He was up all night. We did three videos over at Alex's house.
I tried to warn him.
And he goes, I was driving him home at the end of the night. He's like, I'm still up. I don't know. I said, you got to get some sleep, dude. You got to catch a plane tomorrow. And I told him when he took those, I said, you're not going to sleep.
Yeah. If you take the Brain Force, you have the knockout on hand.
Exactly. So check out all those deals plus more at InfoWarsStore.com.
And all of the purchases that you make obviously go to fund our expansion.
Funny
story to tell. When I was my sister was visiting and I was giving her a tour of the studio, and I go, here's our main studio, and this is the old radio studio, and I go to open the door and it's just gone. The old radio studio is just no more. It's just blank walls. I mean, the rate that we are changing things around and tearing one thing down and building up another thing, it's so fast. I can't even.
All due to the InfoWarriors out there. And in fact, I may even, I hate to spill the beans and show people what's coming up, but I have these amazing renderings of our two new studios that are going to be built in, it looks like late October, early November. That's also another project I oversee here. In addition to, you know, filling in for hosts whenever they have to go on vacation.
And you were looking at today a giant jib arm for a big camera.
Yeah, we're looking at all kinds of stuff.
In this room? I don't know.
I don't know if we can fit a jib in this room, but we definitely in the new studio, we can fit a jib. And we can fit a jib in the other main studio. So it'll be interesting to see all the new things that are going to be happening before the end of the year, because Alex has challenged us to get at least 20 hours of live programming on by this time next year.
We're halfway there.
So we've almost got it. But we don't have another Alex Jones to anchor another big four-hour block. So we got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do, but I think we can do it. Let's go to our guest now. You might know him as Fleckus Talks on YouTube, but his name is Austin Fletcher. Is that an Orlando Magic jersey you're wearing, sir?
Yeah, it's Penny Hardaway.
And you're not going to kneel, are you?
No. I'm trying to reappropriate New Jersey and take it to politics.
Excellent. So what's going on? Or have you been in Berkeley the last couple of days? Do you actually live in that part of California? Or where are you from?
I live in L.A. I'm from New York originally, but I've been living in L.A. for the last 3 years. And I was up in Berkeley over the weekend. I got back yesterday. Yeah, it was pretty.
You got some dirty spoons behind you, too, I see. Spoons.
Yeah, there they are. We're constantly branding here at Fleckestock.
What is it? You're spoon feeding information to people? Oh, excellent.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, you guys need to mention this one. I take this. It's pretty good stuff. I like it.
Doesn't it taste powerful?
Brain force.
Yeah, doesn't survival shield taste really powerful, though, when you put it in your mouth?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of it tastes like kind of pool watery, which probably makes sense, but it's good. I've been definitely noticing it. And then I also take Brain Force, too, which is a good boost. And
well, that's why you're so quick on your feet with these Antifa Simple Jack impersonators out there. So what has been going on in Berkeley, and why are you not out there right now? I hear there's riots going on. It's insane.
Yeah, so I just got back yesterday. I wasn't able to stay for the full week. Once I found out it was canceled, I adjusted my trip a little bit. But sure. It was pretty, so the day I was there, it was pretty low-key just because the cops had the no face mask, no face coverings, no mask rule, which is actually, really helped, and people were obviously scared to do illegal things, which is good. When I was there, it was just a standard rally. Both sides were there, and the left was doing this chant over and over, the same things they always say, reciting the same phrases and mantras. But it was kind of disappointing, realistically. I was hoping that a week would work out, and I thought it could be a good thing for the right, but the left shut it down. I guess there were some issues on the right as well with Milo and his planning. So it was all around disappointment, bigger picture.
Well, I kind of what this shows is that nobody really knows what they're doing and has a grasp on everything, because there's a lot of details that go in. Hey, I'm going to have a rally. Oh, wait, there's a lot of things that need to be signed, a lot of barricades that need to be put in place, a lot of cops that need to be called. I heard the Fresno police said, we're not going to offer any assistance because we don't want to get involved with that. So there was a lot of stuff going on. And you have a school that was supposedly the birthplace of the free speech movement is now curtailing it at a rapid pace, and half the population seems to be enjoying it. What do you think the real numbers are of the people that are against free speech in Berkeley, California?
I think it's similar to, the NFL take a knee thing. I think it's the same two people fighting the same war on different fronts. So I would say the percentages are probably in line. I think the majority of the people in this country would want someone, whether they agree with them or not, to be able to speak publicly and freely and not at risk of, being attacked and the supporters being attacked as well. I would say, based on what I saw up there, a lot of the college kids were completely uninformed. They never even listened to any of the Milo speeches. They knew that their friends were there and their friends and friends were there, and they weren't going to class. We're going to all get there in the middle of campus and rally and, save the country from Nazis. That's what they think is going on, which is a big issue. And the media just plays into that. And it's
come on, bro, my Bernie bros. We're going to save everybody from the Nazis, man. Come on. All right, Fleckus, We got one more segment with you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Infowars.com War Room. You can watch us for free on the internet, Infowars.com/show. Tune in now and spread that link.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, Info Warriors all. This is The War Room. I'm Harrison Smith, co-hosting here for Rob Dew. We have Austin Fletcher on the line as our guest. You might know him as Fleckus Talks. And Austin, you have to be one of my favorite YouTubers in general, especially of this kind of genre of going out and talking to people. Every time you come out with a new video, I watch it immediately, and then I find myself just watching all the rest of your videos, even though I've seen them, a million times. I always end up just going down the list because they're just so funny and sort of addicting. I have to keep watching them. And I think the reason is because a lot of times when people go out and they confront people like this, they're confronting them, and it's frustrating because you're hearing this stupid stuff and it just makes you angry. But your style is not confrontational. It's more fun and kind of humorous, and you get the feeling you're just kind of sitting back and just laughing at the silliness rather than than really getting like riled up by it. And I really like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's always been the goal, because I think when it comes to these leftists, they're used to fighting the emotional war. They're used to going going out and screaming and calling people names and saying you're racist, you're this, you're that. And all they do is live in the emotional world. So no one ever gets beyond that. And it's hard to get them to let you in. But I just kind of sneak up on them. I kind of look like them. And I carry the stupid microphone on a spoon, so they think I'm an idiot. So then I can kind of like get, you know, behind enemy lines a little more. And then I figure if I can actually get these people to open up and explain why they believe what they believe and how they got to their conclusions, then we can kind of not give them the benefit of the doubt anymore. Then we can kind of come to the conclusion that, hey, these people don't make any sense. We maybe shouldn't give them as much credibility as we do. Because otherwise, you know, they're going to keep fighting the emotional fight. And if you are against me, you're a racist. And if you're for me, you're progressive. And those labels, those are drying up. That's not the direction this country needs to head in. Very divisive. So I just want to discredit them as much as possible when it's deserved. And most of the time it is, especially at these protests.
Right, because you're not asking leading questions. You're not setting them up to look stupid. You just sort of go, hey, tell me what you think. And they just expose themselves as idiots every time. You really don't have to try that hard to expose them for what they are.
You should put on your business card chaos interviewer, because you're literally in the chaos interviewing these people, commenting on it, and then stumping them with little questions. I want to jump to the NFL controversy that's going on. Now it's gotten so bad and so many people are pissed off. DirecTV, you can see this on Infowars.com, will allow angry customers to request NFL refunds. Everybody's calling about that today. That's the quote from Zero Hedge. While DirecTV's regular Sunday ticket policy doesn't allow refunds once the season is underway, the representative said they're making an exception this season, which began in September in response to the players growing protests, either kneeling or linking arms during the national anthem. One representative said full refunds were available to all those who complained about the anthem protests, and others said they would only get a prorated refund. And one of them said, well, they might have to like change their plan, or we'd give them a credit for that. But it's, you know how much they're paying for this? $280 per season. So Mark Hoffman, a longtime subscriber of Sunday Ticket, called to cancel his subscription and he got a refund on Monday. And he said, honestly, I didn't think I'd get a refund, but look, this is what happens. This is the power. This is the power of what's going on. Now we played, Fleckus, we played a video earlier. What was that young man's name? Austin? Well, it was Brian something, who was the guy? I don't know, look that up.
In the car with 38 million views.
It has 38 million views. Find that video real quick. I got to write this guy's name down. It was Brandon something, maybe. And 38 million views in just a few days, talking about his views on, and we would all kill for that. I would kill. Yeah, I wouldn't kill. But 38 million views, amazing. There he is right behind me if you go to that full shot. But that's the power of social media, and one man can command more attention than the entire NFL. It's amazing. What was that? Brandon Tatum. That's right, Brandon Tatum. Fleckus, what are we witnessing now? We're witnessing a total sea change in what's going on in America. I think for so long, and this happened, man, the early 2000s, I was getting hit with this political correctness stuff from people on the left. Like, oh, you can't say that. That's politically incorrect. But they say it nicely. Now they're like beating you over your head if you're not saying it. But the tide is turning. Why is it turning, and why are we winning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The tide's definitely turning. The silent majority is becoming less and less silent every day, which is a huge deal. That's kind of what's been holding us back forever, because for the last few years, the loudest voices were the correct voices, or so it seemed. So if someone's outraged about something, if you don't agree, that means that you support what they're mad at, which is not okay. And now, especially with social media and how easy it is to share things and be involved and kind of like, you know, learn the facts, basically, we're seeing that the silent majority is starting to, you know, speak up a little bit, which is, it's about time. And I think the NFL and this war is being fought on this front right now. And this battle is with the NFL, and it's the perfect battle. Trump doesn't really pick a bad battle to fight. So he knows majority of the country wants people to stand for the anthem, and he kind of set them up to say, oh, if you want to kneel to oppose Trump, that's a great idea. Because now look who you're going against. The people that serve the country, they let you have the freedom to do what you're doing, and the people that also pay tickets to come see you play and perform every weekend. So once you get those people turned on you, you kind of lose all power and you lose credibility. It's just another. It's a great battle. It's a great war that he's manipulating and winning against the bigger picture mainstream media's obviously crazy narrative.
And basketball season's coming up, so I think we're going to see another round of not of kneeling and linking arms and disrespect to the flag, claiming police brutality.
Well, if that's still what it's about, because I think the funniest thing about the whole kneeling,
they probably don't know what it's about.
It started with police brutality. It kind of morphed into general racism. Now, apparently, it's a free speech thing. I mean, it's funny how it sort of morphs, you know, as time goes on.
And I was on a radio show this morning and from England, and they said, well, what do you make of this? Should they be allowed to do this? And I said, yeah, they should be allowed to do this. We want to know who the traitors are. We want to know every single one of them out there. And I mean, I'm for freedom on all sides. Let them bow down to the flag during the national anthem. That's great. They're going to see their ticket sales plummet. They're going to see their jersey sales plummet. They're going to see support for them plummet. You're going to see more people burning their jerseys and tickets. To me, it's great. Austin, what November 4th, it looks like there's going to be tons of rioting and protests in the streets of America thanks to the anti-fascist movement out there. Where are you going to be and what are you going to be covering at that time?
I'm going to see what that develops into, because I've done all the LA protests now to the point where every time I show up to an event, someone hawks me, runs right up to me and doesn't let me talk to anybody. Everyone I interview, they'll say I'm a fascist, I'm a Nazi, all this horrible stuff. So I'm going to mix it up. And I've been pushing more of I've been traveling more and I've been trying to get more involved with the universities. And obviously these NFL things going on now, I want to travel and go to some games to see what people have to say about it. So I think I'm going to have to decide probably a week or two before. I might even be in Austin, Texas, if there's a big turnout there.
I was going to say
maybe back in New York or Chicago, one of the other cities, maybe even Portland. Definitely be out of LA for that one, though, if it's going to be nationwide.
Right. And you have the list of cities right there. Read them all.
Yeah, I have the list of cities. It's New York City, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois. There is one in Los Angeles and San Francisco. But if you want to come to Austin, I bet InfoWars could give you some backup.
We're going to be out there. Don't worry. You can check him out on YouTube at Fleckus Talks. This is Fleckus Talks. That's Austin Fletcher, who is a true American hero out there with a microphone and camera. We need more people like him to join the info war. Thanks for watching for the War Room. We'll be right back after this short break. Infowars.com/show.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
See me right out of that sunset. It was sometime during the campaign leading up to the 2016 election that Donald Trump says, you know, he gets so tired of winning, we're going to win so much. And it kind of feels like that's happening.
A little bit tired of winning.
I'm not tired of it, but we are winning so much.
When I was editing I was doing a 6 months of Trump, just doing all of his victories that he's had. And I got sick of the victories. I mean, it was like,
I remember that.
It was like 150 thing, like a list of 150.
We should play that again sometime. That's a good one.
I need to tweet that out. I need to edit it down. There was literally too much victory. It's like 20 minutes long.
It's ridiculous. Buried by victories. Well, on the line now, we have Millie Weaver, who was on the scene in Berkeley. She actually had to vacate. It started to get pretty dangerous. Millie, what happened out there, and are you okay?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. Thanks for asking, Rob. Well, at UC Berkeley, there was a meeting at Sproul Plaza that Joey Gibson with Patriot Prayer had set up. Kyle Chapman, Bay Stick Man, he was also out there, and Tiny and a couple other well-known people on the right, they were all out there to stand for free speech, to stand for freedom, because we have these communist groups like Antifa and By Any Means Necessary with Yvette Falarca that want to go out there and bully and threaten college students into submission, so that they won't just exercise their First Amendment right to free speech. And for example, you know, college students are afraid to just simply wear a Trump shirt or a Trump hat in public in these areas. They were talking about how the looks they would get, it was as though they were seeing the zombies in They Live for the first time.
I got one that can see.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was pretty bad how there's such a liberal echo chamber at UC Berkeley. They don't have diversity of opinion, diversity of ideology. They only care about diversity as far as it goes with skin color and talking about systemic racism, which they were sure to call the Patriots there a bunch of bigots and racists and white supremacists. Yet they completely disregard the fact that these same Patriots had everyone of every different creed there representing. They had people, you know, Hispanics, Latinos for Trump, African Americans, they had Asians, they had transgenders, they had LGBT people, white people, everyone was just there as Americans and as patriots. And they want to still try and use this argument that it's about race, it's about white supremacy, and that Trump supporters are these racist bigots.
If you look at the makeup of Patriot Prayer, I was watching one of their press conferences. The leader, the head of it, is Hispanic, speaks fluent Spanish. The big guy, Tiny, he's like from the Hawaiian Islands. And then you've got, and then there's Will Johnson, who's an African American.
And on screen right now, there's a transgender person that talked to us, and he supports Trump, and he has told us about how he has been beaten up, attacked by Antifa and by any means necessary. They bullied him, told him, take off your wig, you're a man, you're not a woman, and said all these things that you would expect to hear from a homophobic person. But in reality, he was hearing that from these leftist progressives and anti-fascists because he wasn't a leftist. So this is what happens when you disagree with them ideologically. They don't care if you're transgender, LGBT. They'll stomp on your rights.
Exactly. And they don't care if you're a minority. They'll say, oh, you're not the right kind of minority. Now, I noticed in the video we played yesterday, it was the report, kind of a roundup of all the things you had to endure the other day, culminating with getting doused with urine. There was a man there with a long beard. His name's Rod Wheeler. He was a lot of these Trump rallies throughout the election cycle. And he was saying some really important things that I think the left needs to hear. They're like, listen, man, I agree with a lot of what you guys say, but when you don't allow press in to talk to you, you are becoming exactly what you want to fight against.
It's bad strategy.
Totally bad strategy. And they don't see it. And that's why I think they're going to fail. I know they're going to fail because they're not, nothing's based on logic with these people. But I saw him out. He was out there today. Looks like videotaping more of the Patriot Prayer rally. Now, why did you guys have to evacuate? What was going on there at the end?
Well, we decided to leave for a couple of reasons. One, there was a group of what looked like Black Lives Matter and Antifa that were culminating and gathering in an area, blasting music, yelling, you know, F Donald Trump and other explicit expletives. And they, you know, we came over there to see what was going on. And one of them threatened us and basically said something along the lines that, you know, oh, yeah, one of our people got your car and one of our and we got you in Charlottesville and we'll get you again, something along those lines. And, you know, we could see that it wasn't looking good. The police were completely surrounding, but just because the police were there surrounding doesn't mean the police are going to actually aid in protection. Doesn't mean
they're just going to let things get out of hand.
They'll drag you away once you're knocked out.
Yeah. Right. They're not going to aid in protection. I've seen it firsthand. They just stand there and don't do anything. And they're just going to make sure that nothing too crazy goes on. But even then at Charlottesville, I saw the police completely stand down when all out madness was ensuing. So we decided to leave. We also have a flight to catch because we are coming back to Austin. So we are over in San Francisco right now. But all in all, I will say that it was pretty amazing to see the people with Joey Gibson all come there holding arm in arm, singing that they're united, and they completely drown out the Antifa band members, and they got so mad. And one of the guys that was there the other day who said that he took pleasure in watching me be mistreated by Antifa. The guy that was there, not in this video that you're showing here, but he actually was being drowned out by the peaceful Trump MAGA people singing that they're united and putting their American flags like in front of where they were. And I went to go talk to him and I said, you know, hey, you were the one who said that you reveled in seeing me being mistreated, you know, and he just started in on me yelling and cursing and, you know, talking about InfoWars is so bad and Trump people, we're all bigots and racists. And it doesn't make any sense. And another instance, which was interesting, was there is a man there with Patriot Prayer. His name's Kyle, not Kyle Chapman. People were calling him Bald Kyle because Kyle has a medical condition where he can't grow hair evenly. He has bald patches, so he shaves his head. And so these people, of course, think that he's a skinhead. And so they start calling him a skinhead and saying he's a bigot and racist. And I tried sparking a conversation between the man who was calling him a bigot and a racist and the actual guy himself, Kyle. And the guy didn't even want to hear about this leftist progressive, didn't even want to hear about this guy's not actually a skinhead. He has a medical condition. And he didn't care. Well, he was still rude and made fun of him. And it was just, it just goes to show it's not about whether these Trump supporters are really actually what the left tries to claim they are. They claim that they're these things just to shut them down.
Exactly. Exactly. And this reminds me, there was a young man who had cancer and had lost all his hair, and people were calling him a skinhead and a Nazi. They look for anything out there outside of their preferred version of reality and just attack it. You know, Millie, you're a true info warrior. I'm glad you're safe. We're going to see you back here. In fact, you're going to be hosting on Friday. I think next time you go to these rallies, play the national anthem and they'll all take a knee, right? Isn't that what they're supposed to do now? They're supposed to bow down to the national anthem. I think that's the only way to defeat these. We're going to break. Millie, get to the airport. We'll see you when you get back. You're watching The War Room. Infowars.com/shows, the free stream. Send that out to everybody you know. So as we heard earlier in the hour, we had Trump talking about his dramatic once-in-a-generation opportunity to cut taxes as they've slowly been rising throughout the years. And a lot of people have different things to say about it. I, for one, welcome a tax cut. I know we're not going to get exactly what we want. It's not going to be perfect. But I'd rather have...
It's not going to be 100% tax cut.
It's not going to be 100%. I'd rather... We need something. I'm sick and tired of seeing the amount of like two really awesome vacations being paid to the federal government every year.
So they can like do studies about transgender children or
shrimps,
whatever it is.
Shrimps running on treadmills. Please find the video of the shrimps running on treadmills because people aren't going to believe me, even though we've shown it thousands of times on this show. Well, maybe hundreds, maybe 50. I don't know. But our federal government pays for shrimps to run on treadmills and study it. Okay. So here it is in the Daily Mail. Trump's dramatic tax reform plan revealed. The president wants just three brackets and zero tax on a couple's first $24,000 and a massive slash to corporate rates. So he wants to have the three new rates will be 12%, 25%, and 35%. And he wants to drop the corporate rate from 35% to 20%. Even though I think if you look in here, it says it's actually 22.5%, not 20%. I'll find that. I know I saw that somewhere. Let's get to some more of this. It wants to axe the existing brackets, which it used to be 10, 15, 25, 28, 33, 35, and 39.6. And people will have the option to file a standard tax form or an itemized one. So the itemized one's not going to be a postcard. And they said, oh, I want to do this on a postcard. It's not. But you'll be able to take, boom, $24,000 off if you're married. And what Trump says, the current code favors the wealthy, privileged, and the connected who can hire attorneys and accountants to help them navigate and take advantage of those deductions and credits, many of which go away in the Donald Trump legislative plan for tax overhaul.
It's just like the regulations. Regulations keep down the small businesses because only the big businesses can deal with them. Same way that only the rich and powerful can deal with all the tax loopholes to keep their money.
Exactly. Exactly.
Us peasants have to just give it away.
Republicans are also proposing an increase to the child tax credit to an unspecified amount that promises to be higher than the current credit of $1,000. I think that's per child as well. A $500 non-child dependent is in the framework to help Americans taking care of sick or elderly relatives. That's very pro-family. Very pro-family. I'm the most pro-family president ever. And so I'm all for that. The corporate tax, oh, here it is. The corporate tax rate will see a steep drop from 35%. Trump's plan proposes to bring it to the worldwide average, below the worldwide average of 22.5%. So maybe he is really making it 22%. I kind of scanned through that. But businesses will also be with a one-time tax on offshore profits payable over several years. So they're going to try to get people to bring their money back into this country by saying, hey, look, you can do this one time, or if you have money overseas, you're going to have to pay taxes on it a lot more. And so they believe a lot of money will be repatriated and brought back to the United States, which will then be invested into projects all across America, which will, in theory, bring jobs. So I'm all for it. Trump had vigorously campaigned for a steeper reduction in taxes for corporations and a 10% floor for the income tax. But you know, those creatures on Wall Street need their taxes. They need our essence. They're literally like Skeksis sucking our essence, using a giant crystal and then slurping it down in horrid parties. And Trump wants to see a 15% corporate tax rate, but he doesn't get to see that. Ineffectual House Speaker and total cuck Paul Ryan is committed to having a new tax code by New Year's Day. And once again, Trump said this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to fundamentally rethink our tax code.
You know, I was watching an interview from George W. Bush's first term, and it was about 6 months in, and they said, well, he's passed a tax reform, but that doesn't even count because it's just so easy to pass a tax reform that, you know, anybody can do that. So I wonder how easy they're going to make it for Trump to pass a tax reform. In the past, that was just, of course you could. Everybody liked that. Everybody's for that.
Well, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare, but we can't do it in three tries. All three of which are better than Obamacare, but don't go far enough in most people's opinion, including mine. Now, David Stockman, back on September 5th, wrote about the tax plan. I guess he had seen a version of it or in the works. And his main gripe about it is that it doesn't do anything for the payroll tax. And he says, what is killing jobs and shrinking paychecks in flyover America is the $1.2 trillion federal payroll tax. It amounts to 15.3% of every payroll dollar, up to $127,000 a year, paid 50-50 by employer and employee, and constitutes a destructive wedge on the middle and lower levels of the jobs ladder. It raises the employer's fully loaded payroll costs precisely where the China price of imported goods and the Indian price of offshore services and the robot price capital substitution, and puts an immense competitive pressure on domestic lower wage jobs, as shown by the graph below. Nearly 80% of all jobs, 121 million, which were subject to the payroll tax withholding in 2014, generated a pay of less than $57,000 per year. And nearly 60% of the 91.2 million paid less than $35,000 a year. So basically what he's saying is the whole thing is the payroll tax. If we can do something about that, maybe drop it in half. It's right now 15.3%, maybe make it 7%, maybe make it 5%. And that's where you're going to see a real savings. You're going to see a real earnings every paycheck. You're going to see your paycheck go up. And because that is a tax that hits everybody equally, unlike the, you know, the 10 or the 12, what is it, 12, 24, 35, what they want to go to.
Right. It'll be giving everybody in America a raise, basically.
Yeah, 12, 25, and 35. So, yeah, everybody will get a raise. Everybody will have more income. Corporations will pay less in income tax. Oh, everybody's going to be open arms about that. Guess what? They're going to spend that money on their business. Okay, I'm sure there's plenty of small businesses out there that go, wow, if I had an extra $20,000, I could add on. I could hire more people. An extra $30,000, I could hire three or four more people.
It's a huge amount.
It is. And that's where it's going to help people the most, is in the small business realm. So I'm all for seeing something like this. Now, getting to a little North Korea news. We have another epic North Korean video. Earlier in the week, we played I guess a North Korean pipe dream of them blowing up the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson.
I don't know if that one or this one is going to have the better graphics.
It's one of their bottle rockets. But now it gets even better. And this might be why they call him Rocket Man. No wonder Kim dreams. This is on Daily Mail. I love their titles. No wonder Kim dreams of being a Rocket Man. North Korean 20th century propaganda cartoon shows a child dreaming of destroying U.S. ships with missiles. That's what they dream more of than anything else in the world. They want to destroy.
I think they probably dream of food more than anything.
Can we get a big wide shot of this thing behind me? Oh, there's somebody behind me. I want Kim Jong-un. So, hey guys, let's roll some of that video and let's watch this little boy who's turning pencils and protractors into missiles and a rocket launcher. I dream of destroying the American Empire. Good slave. Good slave. You too can destroy the Americans. And your fellow former countrymen in the South. Oh, he's getting tired. Probably because he's malnourished. Poor guy.
We'll have sleep for dinner tonight.
And instead of feeding our people, we will build armaments. Wow. Get in that rocket launcher, son. We're going to war. Hey, that actually looks like Kim Jong-un. Measure the angle. We will use trigonometry to destroy the infidel.
You always wonder, when am I going to use this math outside of school?
I know. Here it is. Stay in school, kids. You too can be a Kim Jong-un rocket launcher bot.
You too can take down the imperial pigs.
Imperial scum. Uh-oh. They've got our ships in their sights. Of course, if they were able to see the ships with binoculars, they would already be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, they're shooting pencils, which are about as effective as the actual rockets.
There they go, the bottle rockets. Oh, look at that.
This is actually better animation than that piece of propaganda we showed yesterday.
This is really good.
It's some high-quality, hand-drawn entertainment.
They're loading, reloading, and firing again. And singing children's nursery rhymes. Uh-oh. They're hitting the tanks right now as the tanks are coming ashore.
Yeah,
I like we have noses on the ships. That's interesting. Oh, and now we're retreating. We've had enough, please, no more. Oh. All right, we're going to break. We'll be back right after this. You're watching The War Room. Boy, that was...
is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to Protest Nation, where practically everyone has now jumped on the take a knee trend. Athletes, coaches, police officers, students, elected representatives, active duty army officers, Olympians, and of course, celebrities. It's this year's Ice Bucket Challenge. And you know what? That's fine. It's a free country. Protest is at the very core of our republic. In fact, a lot of men and women sacrifice their lives in order for you to be an overpaid baby disrespecting the nation. Biting the very hand that feeds you, of course, with federal subsidies. But the side effect of politicizing everything is that people are tuning out. Ratings are tanking across the board. People are turning off their TV sets, burning sports memorabilia, refusing to watch the latest overhyped blockbuster. The question is, when all of the bread and circuses take a knee, forcing everyone to boycott everything, What happens to the empire that requires that distraction? Now, the government literally subsidizes Hollywood and the NFL for this very hypnotic effect it has over the masses. But when those institutions no longer hold sway, the empire will fall.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz, you ungrateful creatures? Oh. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's great, you say. That's exactly why we voted for Trump, to drain the swamp. But not so fast, because the deep state resistance has other plans. And if the reporting over at the New York Times is any indication, we might all be being trained to kneel before our captors. Just take a look at what they're feeding their readers now, downplaying the flaws of communism and making an argument for its benefits. They got totally ridiculed for this one. For all its flaws, the communist revolution taught Chinese women to dream big. Forget all the raping, starving, and killing. Cindy's got big dreams now. And this romanticizing of communist China is just the latest in a series of op-ed pieces in the New York Times' Red Century series. Other gems include Why Women Had Better Sex Under Socialism. Yes, please tell that to the women in Venezuela who have now been forced into prostitution in order to feed their families. Wow, it never ends. Lenin's Echo Warriors. Ooh, he killed millions, but boy, he sure did save that planet. Man, it sounds like something that Bill Gates has actually said.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
They also say we have the Soviets to thank for Star Trek and its debt to revolutionary socialism. The Soviets supported the Harlem Renaissance, and the Bolsheviks were actually just romantics at heart. Stalin was an inspiration to many Americans. Ah, comrades, those were the days. New York Times, you need to come out with a hat that says, "Make America the Soviet Union again," or for the first time. Now, this is obviously blatant propaganda, and many people have been pointing out that this suits the New York Times. They gave a prestigious perch for one of Stalin's puppets to peddle fake news. For 14 years, Walter Duranty served as the Moscow bureau chief of the New York Times. For years, he denied widespread famine and genocide in the USSR. And well after submitting his works for the Pulitzer Prize in 1932, the New York Times had to admit that his articles constituted some of the worst reporting to appear in the newspaper. Well, that is until this latest outpouring of Soviet nostalgia. Now, suffice to say, folks, we are in this for the long haul. We thought getting Trump in there would change everything. And indeed, the country is changing. We just need to watch the direction it's headed in. In fact, this is the fight the founders warned us about.
Leanne McAdoo is coming in live right after this break. Infowars.com/show.
Kneel before Zeus!
You are not the president. No one who leads so many could possibly kneel so quickly.
Patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Well, it's not Alex Jones, it's the War Room, but I thought we had to play that intro because it really illustrates what's going on. Who are these guys kneeling to? Are they really kneeling before Zod? Do they worship Zod? All of football?
When will they stop kneeling? That's my question.
When the racism stops, man. Come on. You know that. You know it's all about the racism.
I know. It's about free speech now. Rob, get
up. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. I didn't get the memo. I'm two memos back.
Yeah, we're out of the loop.
I get too many emails. I can't keep track of it. Now, we got Leah McAdoo coming up. We're in the last hour of the War Room. We're going to take your calls later. I'm going to give out that number right now, though, so you can all line up. We're going to take calls probably about 30 after at the bottom of the hour. 888 888- 888-201-2244. There it is on the bottom of the screen, 888-201-2044. And we're going to have Liam McAdoo staying with us the entire hour. So before we go to her, I want to tell you about some of the great deals we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And every purchase you make supports what we're doing. I can't say it any plainer than that. Every purchase you make supports what we're doing. Now, there's other ways you could support us without going to InfoWarsStore.com. You could spread the links. You can tell more people about the show. You could get a t-shirt and wear it out there and find more patriot-minded people out there and build a true resistance to tyranny.
You could just send us money outright.
You can. We have a donate link. It's right there.
Well, that's what a lot of people do. They just ask for donations. We like to have a little back, have a little back and forth, a little capitalism into the mix.
Or some people like to just get the money from the government. You know, kind of like what the NFL does. Get a lot of subsidies and money for the government. But we don't get any money from the government, and we're still patriotic. But right now, we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion for 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com, and that's for a limited time only. It's difficult to get the essential vitamins you need in a day and stay as healthy as possible. For a lot of Americans, we can go without the For a lot of Americans, we can go without all the vitamins and minerals we need, which causes health issues daily. I think actually somebody made a typo.
Oh, is that what it is? I think you haven't had your vitamin mineral fusion today.
I'm going to go get some.
Stumbling through.
Anyway, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is on sale for 50% off its regularly scheduled price, and it gives you all the essential vitamins, minerals, and amino acids that your body needs.
And it's delicious.
And it's better than Brondo. And 50% off now on InfoWars Select Storable Food at InfoWarsStore.com for a limited time with coupon code READY. And I think Irma will also work. But that's 50% off. I can't believe we're still... I thought we were getting rid of this. I thought this was one day tonight. That was it. It's still going. See if it's still going. I think it's still going. If it's in this folder, it means it's still going. And also, those of you who are lovers of essential oils can now try the new Emrex Essentials line of essential oils at InfoWarsStore.com. They've private labeled one of the most effective essential oils out there to bring you the power of aromatherapy in your home. They're pressed and extracted versions of some of the most popular herbs for healing and relaxation, and they've been used for centuries across the world. They have 8 different oils ranging from peppermint to frankincense, which I think I call that Christmas.
I love frankincense. I burn frankincense all the time. The frankincense, you know, and whatever it's called.
It was one of the gifts of the wise men, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It reminds
gold, frankincense, and
Catholic,
myrrh.
Catholic or Orthodox churches burn it pretty regularly.
Holy And we have a 25% off discount on Emrex Essential Oil Collection with all the options and fragrances. Additionally, if you purchase a single bottle, you can experience the spa at your home for less.
I didn't realize that those were out yet. We were, the other day, we saw them, I guess we were taking pictures of them for the...
Bring those back up, please.
We saw they're taking pictures of them, and so they're out, and me, it was like me and a bunch of other dudes from the crew all sitting there, you know. So, ooh, try the lavender. Oh, that's
I'm going to try that eucalyptus. That's what I like the best. That's great for when you're all stuffed up. But we have organic tea tree oil, organic sweet orange, eucalyptus, organic. What is that? Bergamot? I don't even know what that is. Amazing.
I bet it smells good.
It looks like little limes. Organic lemongrass, organic frankincense, organic lavender, and organic peppermint. So check those out at InfoWarsStore.com, the new Emrex Essential line of essential oils. And right now, 25% off. And you just saw her in the last segment talking about the NFL and where it's leading us. That was Leanne McAdoo, and she now joins us live on Skype right behind me and in the split screen. How's it going, Leanne?
It's going really great. I had no idea we were going to start selling essential oils. I use essential oils every single night in my diffuser before I go to bed. They're amazing. I do lavender and eucalyptus. That's my favorite. So I'm going to have to try out Emrex Essentials. I love that stuff.
How do you use them? Do you put them in a little burner heater dish? Is that how that works? And it
I put
makes
it in a little diffuser. Exactly. The diffuser. It makes the vapor and it makes the entire house smell so good. But I like it before I go to bed. It's just really calming, relaxing. And the eucalyptus, like you mentioned, it just really opens up the airwaves and it makes you, just relax, able to breathe, get a good night's sleep. So I don't know, a lot of people get congested at night. And
so you can do that alternative nose breathing,
right?
Yes.
Hillary Clinton popularized.
That's great, because when I burn frankincense, it's like it's these little rocks. I guess it's a tree sap, but it's kind of hard to get right. You can burn it; it doesn't smell so good, or you can it puts the coal out. It's not super easy. I imagine oils is probably a lot simpler than that.
Yes,
a lot easier.
Very soothing.
Well, Leanne, what is on your agenda today?
Well, I have been working on a report just responding to Otto Warmbier's parents speaking out about the torture that he must have experienced based on their observations of him when they picked him up there at the airport, getting mm-hmm. him off the plane, and how he was severely brain damaged. And that report's coming up. We can talk about that in a little bit. I know you guys just finished playing the NFL report, which I really, honestly, Monday, I turned off the news because I was just so sick and tired of hearing it. But then I started seeing all of these reports and people kind of backlash against the New York Times. Like, why are they pushing communism? And something just sort of clicked. Like, this is what they're warming the country up for, is to kneel before some type of new leader. And it is this social justice warrior movement, all of this, you know, tearing down the statues. It is all kind of this nostalgia for the Soviets. You know, it's crazy to me to see how we have the Antifa and people like that are able to shut down entire institutions by threatening violence in the name of stopping fascism. And now I just saw an article that they're actually threatening to take down Ray Lewis's statue. Now, you remember he famously came out against Colin Kaepernick and told him initially to, you know, get over it, stop the social activism on the field. Well, he is now being lambasted by people who say that he disrespected the kneel, take a knee movement by his decision to kneel on both knees during the national anthem this Sunday. So he kneeled on both knees. He said it was simply to honor God in the midst of chaos.
He didn't kneel right.
And so because he did that, he didn't do the one knee, he did the two knees, and it was his own
sacrilege,
protest.
Heresy.
They want that statue taken down.
Well,
isn't it crazy?
And the Zod metaphor works perfectly with this. Zod is this unemotional being who doesn't care about anything but making subservience out of all the human species. And that's literally what we have with these social justice warriors. They're all their own little private Zod that walks around, doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to answer questions, just kneel before me. Mm-hmm. I told Millie, she's out there in Berkeley, I said, look, these people start getting in your face, start playing the Star Spangled Banner, they'll take a knee. That, I mean, they have to do that, right? Isn't that their job now?
It's Pavlov's protest.
They have to take a knee. I think that's one way to stop them.
Well, I just got done binge watching The Walking Dead the last season, and that's what the evil, I forget his name, Negan, he's always forcing everyone to kneel. That's the way that you show that you are subservient to his rule, his ultimate power. And so when I'm watching the show, I'm just like, man, why the take a knee? What, how did that even begin? When does it end, I think, is the question.
They're kneeling to that great gig in the sky, I guess. I have no idea what it's about. It keeps changing on a whim. We're going to be right back after this break to try to get to the bottom of this. And we have your calls, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. You're watching The War Room, infowars.com/show. You got me, you got Harrison and Leanne. We'll be right back after this. Strap yourselves in. We still got more War Room, at least 40 minutes. We got Leanne McAdoo joining us, and what was that? Oh, we got some breaking news from Jake Lloyd. I believe it's concerning our favorite West Point commie. Jake, are you there?
Hey, Rob. So there's some breaking news in a story that's been developing about the communist West Point cadet. We talked a little bit about him yesterday. Now, this is the guy that had in his cover, his military headgear, it said communism will win. Under his uniform, he was wearing a Che Guevara shirt. Now, the weird thing is, I don't know why somebody could be so stupid as to post these pictures online, because being in the United States military, you're bound by a certain law known as the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And this governs a lot of different things, you know, how you treat officers, how you treat different enlisted men, as well as what you can do, what you can and cannot do in uniform. Now, it's not a, it's just a coincidence that I am wearing my old Army PT jacket, but being in the Army, I know, even being, you know, just a little enlisted guy, I know that you're not allowed to make any political statements or go to any political rallies or anything of that nature in uniform. So that being said, the Army is investigating him. This is developing. The Hill has an article on it and everything. But I wanted to come out and put that information out there to you guys.
So and right there, you could see it in plain color. He seems to be protesting there with his Che Guevara shirt and his little I'm a commie hat. And commies are going to win. Hey, why would you even go into the Army if you felt that way? Go to Berkeley and join the stinky hippies.
Unless you want to subvert it from the inside. I mean, that would be the only reason,
exactly.
I would think.
Leanne, what is your take on this?
Well, yeah, I think he was wanting to be an interloper, kind of like that. I forget, her name is escaping me right now, but the girl who leaked the
reality
Russian stuff. Yes, reality winner.
Winner.
Reality. Yeah. Do you think that's a real person?
Nobody looked at her social media.
So made up.
Yeah. Nobody reality looked at her social winner. Media to see who she, you know, who she was working for, but I think he's an
Am
interloper.
I good or are they still on this?
What's that? Oh, no, you're still on the air. Did you have anything to add, Jake?
Well, we had a little bit of the audio issue, so I couldn't hear exactly where we were at. I was just checking in to see where we're at.
Okay.
But Leanne can go ahead and continue. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, that's, I think he's an infiltrator, and it'll be really interesting to see. Is that Mr. Lloyd? That's someone new to me. So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think the military would do with someone like this?
Well, I don't think that it'll warrant a court martial, because that's generally only things that could, you know, get you kicked out of the military entirely. But, you know, rank, pay, and time is what the military takes. They'll probably demote him potentially, you know, unless he's so low, you know, he'll probably come out as a second lieutenant, so they can't demote him. But they'll definitely take time and money from him. They'll fine him probably. That's probably what I would guess will happen to him immediately. But it's not good, not very wise to go make communist political statements in uniform.
I think he's going to be peeling potatoes in the Army for an awful long time. That seems to be what they did back in the day. In fact, I found some images of our men in uniform peeling potatoes. You can hit it right there. And guys, I have a video from yesterday that we played. Maybe you guys can find it. I believe it was called Blanket Party, because that may be a form of justice that'll
Blanket
happen
party.
Because apparently he's still in the field till tomorrow.
Well, they should send him to Venezuela or somewhere like that where
he
can see
commies.
What it's really like.
Maybe he should join the Venezuelan army.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I think their first order of business is to go to the zoo and kill animals to eat, because these people are starving.
That's right.
Giraffe burgers.
There's no toilet paper. There's no gasoline. There's no anything in that place, except for the elite. And honestly, the elites are always fine. They're not affected by this.
Well, see, Rob, you're making a mistake, because that's not real socialism.
That's
real
right.
Communism.
That's not. Right. If it was real, it would really happen.
It wasn't applied properly there.
Do you guys have that video? You can find it in yesterday's show folder. That's always a good place to look. So, Leanne, we were talking, you wanted to talk about Otto Warmbier. There seems to be some conflict going on.
Right.
The Huffington Post is reporting the coroner's report finds no clear evidence of torture on Otto Warmbier's body, yet his parents say there's shocking, brutal torture evidence all over his body. Who's right here?
Right. Well, of course, the Huffington Post is going to come out with that story. They were the ones who initially, when they were watching that heart-wrenching video of him giving his forced testimony for the media, they came out and said, well, he got what he deserved. He's a rich white guy. And so, of course, that, you know, they're going to come out and say, well,
that stays with their narrative. That, yeah. Oh, he was fine. Apparently,
again,
he had a shaved head.
Yes. Well, the father said he had a shaved head. He had a feeding tube. When they first went on the plane, he and his wife, his family, they heard just these really inhuman sounds coming. They didn't even know what could be possibly making these sounds, these cries, and that they then saw that it was their son there on the gurney, and it was making involuntary cries and howls coming from him. And that not only did he have severe brain damage, but he was also deaf and blind. And the father said that it appeared as though someone had taken pliers and rearranged his bottom teeth. And so, you know, I don't know if we have another Nurse Naira babies in the incubator type situation here with these parents who are just saying, look, our son died and we want some justice here. We're willing to say that he was tortured because the coroner report, but this coroner's report, it was not an autopsy. The family didn't want an autopsy. They said the death of their son was due to the mistreatment by the North Korean regime, period. And the coroner's report was only just looking on the outside of the exterior of the body. And so they said, you know, the teeth looked fine. He seemed to be of an okay weight. So that's what they're saying is the discrepancy with the parents' testimony versus what this coroner's report said. But I think there would be a lot of people on that plane that would be able to corroborate or go against what the family said that would say, you know, they're lying. They're just doing this because they want to underscore Trump's tough talk on North Korea. I don't think that a family would be able to lie about something like that, especially to just, you know, he went in there a completely healthy college aged kid. He was 21 years old. And then he comes out with severe brain damage on a feeding tube, deaf and blind. And I mean, obviously something happened there. North Korea said it was due to a reaction to a pill that they'd given him to fight off some botulism and that he had a heart attack, which initially caused him to go into that medically induced coma. But there was no botulism in his system. So the North Koreans did say that. Yeah, we're supposed to just take the word of this North Korean regime that they didn't torture him. They treated him
and that they were giving him strict medical care. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like we believe that.
I mean, yeah, it seems to me like the details really, I mean, they matter in a certain way, but just taking the facts that we know to be true, the dude came back as a vegetable, like brain dead. That's, I mean, obviously something horrible happened to him. Obviously, that's an incredibly disturbing state to be in.
And the video of him at his sentencing, he's talking, he's pleading for his life, he's crying, he's obviously ambulatory and vocal.
Right.
And then he comes back a vegetable. So, well, we won't get to the bottom of this today, but I'm sure we will get more evidence and we'll be bringing it to you as it comes out. You're watching The War Room. We got a couple more segments left. We're going to be taking your calls, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244.
Or give me death. The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, one person in Hollywood that is not afraid to take a stand, especially when it comes to vaccines, is Rob Schneider, and just came through on the Twitterverse that in just 2 days and 1 hour away, Real Rob Season 2, an original series, is going to premiere. I wonder if it'll have any little vaccine tidbits. My wife sent me a clip, which maybe I'll get to you guys. I'll send it to you guys, and maybe we can play it. There's actually an InfoWars name drop in this show called The Mindy Project.
Ooh.
It's very interesting the way she says it, too, because the guy brings up a conspiracy and she throws in InfoWars, like kind of out of nowhere. I'm like, what? So I'll see if I can get that off my phone to you guys and we can play it here up in our final segment.
Didn't we have her brother on The War Room?
Is that really?
We did, right? Yeah.
Now it's all making sense.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
All making sense. My goodness, we are really paving ground here in The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me is Harrison Smith. And joining us via Skype, Leanne McAdoo, our roving reporter in Florida. Quick update on Florida. How are the repairs going there? Does everybody have power? What's going on?
Here where I am, we actually, my mom's friends, they just got power 2 days ago. And so we weren't even really hard hit here at all. Wow. So I know, you know, south of here, they're still experiencing outages, still internet out in a lot of places. So not fully out of the woods here, but you know, obviously it's nothing like what's going on in Puerto Rico and other places.
Exactly. But there has been help, at least. People are coming in. Is it happening what I said, people from, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky are going to be coming down and reshingling houses and moving limbs? Is that private influx happen? Have you seen that happening?
Absolutely. I mean, that's almost immediate. When I was working in the construction industry years ago, that's what they wait for. They know a hurricane's coming. They know there's going to be a lot of work. So
grab my tool belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It brings in a lot of people that are here to help and also to make some money.
And then that money, because they're living there for a little while, gets circulated back into the economy and helps bring everything back up. It's a natural progression. And if it's done right, it can succeed. And everybody can rebuild and get back to their original lives.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Leanne.
Well, it's just, for me, it was just really eye-opening seeing how quickly our civilized society can just fall away. You know, not having gas or water or something in just one day. That's really eye-opening. We think we've got it all together here, but just kind of holding it all.
That's it. And all it takes is an EMP to take out the entire United States grid. And that's something people are afraid Kim Jong-un could do. Now, let's go to our callers. We have Brian in Virginia that wants to talk about the Freedom of Information Act. And go ahead, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. What's your question?
Pretty much that there is a FOIA case that I think InfoWars needs to cover that has literally no media attention, that's involving the life that, you know, the life is being put in jeopardy here.
All right, give me a little more info.
All right, it's Brian David Hill versus Executive Office for United States Attorneys et al. For the United States District Court for the Western District of Virginia, and the case number is 4:17-CV-27. And I spoke to Millie Weaver about this over the phone, I think, a few weeks ago. And pretty much the reason I did the FOIA is that the U.S. attorney conducted a malicious prosecution and wrongfully convicted me. I was set up, and they have covered up evidence, and that's what I'm requesting in the FOIA, that proved that stuff was put on my computer for 11 months while it was in the custody of the State Bureau of Investigation, according to their documents.
What kind of stuff did they put on your computer?
Well, I'd rather not tell the subject, but, you know, I got the proof that it's in the official documents if I could get the discovery from the U.S. attorney.
Right. And so right now, is your case active, or what's going on with it?
I've got the case on appeal in the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals.
And so you're just calling to get the word out about your case? Is there a website where people can learn more and possibly offer you assistance?
Well, the case information, everything I said, the case number and all that could probably be looked up on Pacer or Google. But I do have a book which is going to go directly towards helping me get a lawyer. And that's The Frame-Up of Journalist Brian D. Hill, which could be purchased at Barnes & Noble. And that goes towards the legal fund.
Brian, what story were you covering?
Pretty much what I was covering was I was a part of the Nullify NDA petition when I had, met Alex Jones and Stuart Rhodes at Chantilly, Virginia in 2012 during the Occupy Bilderberg. I had done the petition, and I went up to the state senator, that's the town attorney there, the Mayodan, M-A-Y-O-D-A-N, town attorney, Phil Berger, and I gave him the petition to protect Americans' constitutional rights, and I didn't know his son was in favor of torture at the time, nor did I know he was district attorney and was over that county, but I tried to give him a petition with over 200 handwritten signatures, and after that, he wouldn't do anything. They kept it quiet, so I went there as press, a part of We Are Change. I told him, why did you do nothing about the petition about Nullify NDAA? And then I was booted out of the town council, and I was threatened by the police chief. So I posted about it, and after that, 3 days later, the police harassed my mom, I posted about on Prison Planet Forum, and then 8 days later, I was my computer was hacked into, and I was accused of downloading stuff to my computer.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, Brian, we'll check out your story, and maybe we'll get you on as a guest, because it sounds, you know, people asking questions. This is what they don't like. The system does not like citizens standing up and asking questions. And for some reason, that name Phil Berger rings a bell. I mean, it was 2012, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this goes to show people that, you know, stuff can happen and change your life. We had a guest on yesterday. What's his name? Jason Fick.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this guy filmed a fight between some people, but it happened to be some well-known people, some connected people, and he ends up thrown in jail, loses his way of life, and had to start pretty much from scratch just for filming something with his cell phone. Yeah. So it's amazing what they do to people here in the United States when you're not on the inside. Now let's go to Cheryl in Canada, wants to talk about Invictive Games, propaganda, and globalism. Cheryl, we got a little over a minute. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Great show. And I want to congratulate Leanne and applaud her. I've been praying for her and her family down in Florida from day one on this whole hurricane thing. But she also brought up the fact that the world is being primed to look for a new leader for the globalists. And here in Canada, in Toronto, the Invictus Games, you can't get away from them. They're on every channel, every program. And Prince Harry was in a photograph that was on Grudge, I believe, yesterday or the day before, when he was photographed standing right next to Melania Trump, clearly showing a satanic
with the devil horns.
Hand, the devil horn mm-hmm. hand sign. And all I can say is that the war room is the perfect place to say that all these injured soldiers from every country around the world are being celebrated for supporting the globalist agenda, which has nothing to do with freedom, but has everything to do with supporting the corporate takeover of the global empire, which is totally emasculating humanity. And I hope that people realize that Prince Harry is on audition to be the leader Leanne was talking about.
Well, I totally agree, and I have the picture up right now. You can see it. There's the devil horn. Final segment of the War Room. We're going to take your calls. I have a couple callers on, a couple callers ringing in. Right now, Leanne McAdoo is joining us. I'm Rob Dew. Got Harrison Smith sitting next to me as co-host. And earlier, we were talking about the story of the young man graduating from West Point, showing, you know, in the inside of his hat, saying communism will win, and he's got his Che Guevara shirt on. And during the break, I couldn't quite hear what you guys were saying. You said you found video of something. This might be something that happens to what? I couldn't really hear what y'all were saying, but go ahead and play it. Oh, I think I know what's going to happen. This doesn't end well. No, this is not going to be good for this guy. Oh no. Oh.
Aren't the only ones with re-education techniques,
so
we're fine.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I hope that doesn't happen to him. I hope that was a scene from Full Metal Jacket. That was not actually real video. And we hope that doesn't happen to that young man. Hopefully he can just come to his senses and realize that communism is not going to offer him anything but death and destruction.
Hopefully.
Do you want to take the next caller?
Yeah, let's take the next caller. We have Jason in Florida who wants to talk about the NFL and DirecTV. Jason, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, Harrison, Rob, Leanne? I wasn't going to talk about DirecTV, but every time you guys, if I listen for a minute, you change my mind. Leanne made a very valid point about Negan wanting everybody to kneel in the new season of The Walking Dead. Guys, what we need to understand is that the globalist newest plan, and Alex has been right, and all of you guys have been right for the longest time, is to destroy our heroes.
They start with our fictitious heroes because those are the largest fan bases. Those are what people see, and they get this false reality of these people thinking they're real people. They are trying to show us. The new Transformers movie, total propaganda. Michael Bay, you're a scumbag if you ever listen to this show, bud. I hope that one's for you. They are going to destroy our heroes, guys. They are defacing our military. What they did to that Pittsburgh player, Alejandro, that was horrible. That was the league telling him you are nothing and you will never survive. If they destroy our
That heroes, was slave master training. They said it was Trump acting like a slave master. What we saw there was slave master training coming after that boy. And they said,
Amen,
you don't talk about that. Get back in line.
Right. No, and you're right, and especially with like the founding fathers, they're trying to destroy their character, yep. destroy their legacy because of what they represent, which is the Constitution and the freedom that they brought us. Really,
absolutely, right. Every one of them. That's their goal. And Leanne pointed it out. This is propaganda at the worst level. This is what their entire plan is. Alex has been saying it for the 20 plus years I've been listening to him. This is their goal. They start with fictional characters, and in the background, when you're not looking, they are destroying the single foundations that this country was based on, which is great men and women all throughout our history. And the longer that we allow this and continue to stay silent on this is going to make it worse. So hats off to you guys at the InfoWar and all your contributors, and God bless America, and God bless Donald J. Trump.
Well, thank you for that call, Jason. I got one quick question for you. I'm under the impression, and my opinion is, we should let these guys kneel so we could see who they really are and have them show their true stripes. How do you feel about that?
I think he might have left.
Is he still there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Would you feel they should be allowed to do this, or you think they should be stopped?
Honestly, just a little bit. I was a football coach for underprivileged youth for about 5 years, and I can tell you that in the first class of the individuals that I had, 5 of 25 are now serving greater than 15-year sentences for things like armed robbery and things like that. It is the destruction that we're seeing, and I want to believe that what you're saying is right, Bob, and I agree with it 100%. But on the backside, my friend, you're talking about greater than 60% of the population of this country has zero patriotism whatsoever, and they will bow before Zog, my friend. And to me, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a single person ever bow for any reason. There are two reasons to bow down. One is to pray to God, and the other is for a fallen soldier. Anything else, my friend? Disgusting. It's not just they're not traitors. You know, like you said, Rob, it's good to see who's actually doing this, but I want to see the people that are telling them to do it, because that's who I'm going to fight. That's who you're going to fight, and that's who Alex is going to fight. So, again, we're going to figure out who's running them, my friend. That's the problem.
That is a great point. That is a great point. And now we've seen Little League. I don't know what they call I call it Little League football. These guys, these kids, 8-year-old kids are taking knees. It's a travesty of what's going on, what they're being taught, and they're seeing it done by the adults, and they're emulating the adults.
They don't understand it.
The adults stood for the national anthem. They would stand. Kids are impressionable.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jason?
No, once again, Leanne, I'm glad you made it through. I'm down here in Florida with you, girl, and like I said, it wasn't fun for any of us, but we're all back and up and running on the Central Florida section of the world. But again, guys, hats off. Great job. Keep doing the right thing, man. We're reaching out, and we're getting more and more and more viewers. Keep hammering the point across, and eventually it will, I hate to say it will divide us. I would love to say it would unite us. But unfortunately, if it continues to go down this road, there will be two parties. And one will be Americans and patriots, and one will be all others. And I think that's why the globalists chose Islam, is not just because of the submission or to submit, which is, the definition of Islam, but because they are the largest group. My friend, what they do not know is that Americans are the largest group. We are the strongest group, and we will continue to fight this. We will boycott the NFL.
We will boycott your sponsors. We will continue to not buy your products. What DirecTV is seeing right now is nothing compared to the patriotism movement that's about to be reinserted into the United States, guys. Keep
that's
up
right. That's right. I couldn't agree more. That is well said. And we're going to find out tomorrow how much blowback the NFL has earned, because tomorrow starts Thursday Night Football. I'm going to have Darren McBreen in here, who used to be a big football fan, and now he has declared he is not going to watch it anymore. And we were looking at the intro for Thursday Night Football, and let me tell you, it don't look like they're about to play football. It looks like we're about to play patty cake. I mean, it's definitely 180 degrees opposite of what football is. Your comments, Leanne.
Well, I just appreciate, you know, it is just sort of a testimony to how important this time is that we're living in right now to be alive. Because did you ever think that you would see the day when millions of people shut off the programming and decided to boycott, regardless of what side of the issue you stand on? So many people are tuning out of sports. They're tuning out of music and media and Hollywood, and they're shutting down the news propaganda channels. So many people right now are awakening. They're realizing that they've been being lied to, that things really aren't quite what they seem, and they're ripe for the picking. And that's why we have these kind of globalist deep state people that are now trying to jump on this bandwagon and take a knee group and say, well, come join us, bow to us, and we will take a knee with you, because they see that this is such an important time where they have the opportunity to capture a large group of people, because there's so many of us who are waking up finally and shutting off the programming. That's why it's so important for people to understand that throughout history, we've had these cycles again and again, these opportunities for humanity to join together and unite, find our commonalities versus our differences. But again and again, we get destroyed. The deep state wins, the rulers win, because they use divide and conquer. They're using it again. We see it on the media, how they're highlighting the divisive rhetoric and the black versus white. And you know, this is that, who's taking a knee, who's not taking a knee. So they're really highlighting the divisive nature between humanity, because they know they are losing their grip on our consciousness. They're losing the grip on humanity. And that's why they're playing up their time-tested play of divide and conquer. That's why we have to be stronger than that and come together and not allow it to divide us.
Right, and it's like, well, yeah, he's got the...
That's why they're doing this. That's why they're doing this. That's why I was shaking this. I want y'all to go to this. This is why they can't stand what we're doing.
Right.
So they have to make fun of us. Well, and that's all they have. Look, we got less than a minute left. Let's go to our last caller in Ohio. We have Aaron in Ohio, wants to talk about the NFL. Aaron, you got less than a minute. Go quickly. Don't thank us. Just go.
Okay. I think I'm agreeing with you, Rob, if you think that we should let these people kneel, because I think what Trump did by calling them out and getting them to, like, get mad and everybody take a stand, it showed the majority of Americans how they actually feel about us and how they feel about America. And now we have to boycott, and we have to take, you know, the fight to them, because if we allow kind of like the slow play and just...
Yep. Well, we got 10 seconds left. We got to hit them where it hurts, in the pocketbook, and that's where we make the most difference. Thanks for joining us, Leanne Harrison. Thank you very much.